And man, I'm going to be moving through my sermon, but get ready and write it down. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. Lord, we're so grateful that you made us really to be strong men and women. And Lord, we're not going to apologize for that. Lord, you have put some amazing things in us, some gifting, Lord, some great talents, the ability to discern, the ability to hear your voice. And Lord, we're going to move in that regardless of what our culture says. Lord, I'd rather spend whatever life I have here on earth following you than follow all the other things that I once followed. And Lord, today I pray that you would get us on the road. If any of us have detoured, Lord, I declare that today we get back on the road, that we quit listening to that voice that condemns us, and instead we'll listen to that voice that will encourage us. In fact, what I heard was, come and follow me. Come and follow me, Lord, and I've never regretted one day when I took you up on that. Amen, church? Amen. Go ahead and get your Bibles open to Romans, the 15th chapter. We've been going through the book of Romans for a long time. We're almost done. And I've been doing kind of a mini-series called The Culture of Honor. Culture of Honor. It's like, because the Apostle Paul really has been talking to the church in Romans 14 and 15, because the church in Rome had really some divisions. There was they brought Jews and non-Jews together, and it was like, okay, get along. And that was hard. Well, we have more than two groups in this church. I mean, we have people from all over the world in this church, and yet we're supposed to get along because it's really a testimony to the world. But I want to begin by asking you this question. When was the last time you sacrificed something for the good of someone else? When's the last time you actually sacrificed something for someone else? It might have been like this. Maybe you had, you know, 15 bucks in your pocket and you're on your way to lunch. You're just, you can almost already like taste the lunch. You know what I'm talking about? At least I am. Maybe I think about food too much, but I can taste it. I can just feel it. I can hear the crunch and all those things. And then you pass this homeless guy and you just have the sense, you know what? I'm supposed to give him the money. And so you give him the 15 bucks and you go without lunch. Now that's a sacrifice. Or maybe what you sacrificed was your time. A buddy asked you to come and help him, and you know tomorrow starts early. You just know, oh my gosh, I got to go in early tomorrow. And yet, here you're helping out your friend, and it's getting later, and it's getting later, and you're just, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice some sleep for the good of my friend. Or maybe it might have been money. You have sacrificed financially, and I know that happens in this church. You're so generous. You're so giving. I just got back from Mexico, and here's what happens every time. Every time. There'll be people that, for whatever reason, maybe they can't go to Mexico because of a work commitment or something, but they'll say this. They'll say, you know what, I can't make it, but I'll sponsor someone. Well, that's $650. I can have a lot of tacos for $650. I mean, I can visit King Torta in North Plains about 60 times for that kind of money. And so it is a sacrifice that we, do you see this theme, food? You know, I'm so easily distracted. Tell me about it. But in the culture of honor, you have to be thinking about the good of other people and really take the eyes off yourself. That's really what I'm saying. And we see that in Romans 15, that in order for the church to live in harmony, in order for the church to live in unity, and when the church lives in unity, you get a tangible feel for the Spirit of the God. You know, it's one thing for me to worship at home. It's one thing for me to worship as I'm driving. But when I get together with God's people and we're united, I feel His presence. And sometimes I swear that God walked by me. I just, like, who was that? You know, there's times when I'm just like, I'm ready to go down. I'm like, holy smokes, Lord, you're here tangibly. There's something beautiful. And it happens when we're united in worshiping Him. So the next questions I'm going to ask, and really I'm going to answer these as part of looking at Romans 15, is this. If you bring up the next slide. It says, how do we become God-centered? That's the difficult one right there. How do we become God-centered as opposed to self-centered? How do we become God-centered, loving, united, encouraging, and holy people when almost everything in our culture comes against this passionate devotion to God? Almost everything that we're bombarded with all day long is by design meant to draw us away from God. Being a man, men are so visually, stimulated. Men are so visually drawn that it makes sense to me that the enemy's strategy is to take us captive by what we see. And that's why in our discipleship program, one of the things we do, and it was mentioned, we do a fast of media. We allow people 2 hours of media. I mean, 2 hours of you know, Facebook at the most, you know, and everything else, right? 2 hours of media completely, TV, everything, a week. And that freaks people out because people are used to like 12 hours of media a day. And so when you tell them 2 a week, it freaks them out. But what we explain to them is every time you look at something, you're getting a download from the world. And we want to, at least for 4 weeks, teach people to lay that aside and start getting a download from the Holy Spirit. Start getting a download from God's Word. And all of a sudden, people are like, man, I hear God. God's always speaking. The problem is we're surrounded with so much noise in our culture that we don't hear Him. And even believers, sometimes we have music on all the time. You know, we have K-Love on and all that, and those are great stations. But, you know, sometimes those are noisy. God says, you know, I can't speak to you because you have K-Love on all the time. So get in the habit of even turning that off and hearing His voice, especially as you read the Word. And so I'm going to look at 4 different principles regarding this culture of honor. How does it look like tangibly in our church? Here's the first one about the culture of honor. In the culture of honor, the strong encourage strong, healthy relationships. In the culture of honor, the strong encourage strong, healthy relationships. We don't say, hey, man, I've got it, and too bad for you. No, I'm responsible for my brother and my sister. Look what it says in verse 1, Romans 15. We then who are strong, so you might be strong in your marriage, you might be strong in your faith, you might be strong in your business or whatever it might be. I mean, this can apply to a lot of things. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples, really talking about the infirmities or the weaknesses, the scruples of the weak. In other words, you're strong, but you have a responsibility to look out for your weaker brother, but not to please yourself. Once again, there's the same. Take your eyes off yourself. Verse 2, let each of us please instead his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, meaning you're building them up. He says, take your eyes off of yourself, put it on your brothers and sisters with the goal of encouraging them, right? I said this yesterday, and I firmly believe it. I don't know if you've ever been to my house, but I can give you this guarantee. If you come to my house, you're going to leave encouraged. You'll leave encouraged because that's the way I operate my life. You know, I take this serious. The Lord says, I gotta go around encouraging and lifting people up. And that's really what you should do in your home too. When somebody comes to your home should be a place of respite, a place of refreshing, a place of encouragement and building up. That's what it should be. Verse 3, for even Christ, here's our example, for even Christ did not please himself. He could have. Right? He's God. He could have come and said, hey, you people serve me, but he didn't. Instead, he served the disciples. He served other people as an example. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. In other words, he said, the things that you had coming, Carlos, those things were put on me. Such is my love. Such is the way that I serve you. So God is glorified really by healthy relationships in the church. God loves to see healthy relationships in the church. And it's our job to help that come about. It's our job to help that come about. You know, I'm so grateful. When we were newly married, the first year was kind of the year I like to forget. It was a bad year, that first year. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. I wanted to send her back a few times, you know. But her dad told me on our wedding, he said, you can't give her back, so there was no return policy. But it was bad. And can I admit to you, I was the problem. I was the problem. Yes, yeah. You know, I was. It took me 35 years to admit it, but I'm now admitting it. I just had, you know, some crazy thinking. But I'm grateful that there was a couple that were 3 years ahead of us in marriage, and they walked us through a lot of stuff. That's what he's talking about. The stronger, I mean, they were 3 years stronger than we were. And so they took us under their wings and straightened Pam out. But where it says the strong should bear for the weak, to bear means to put up with, to carry along, to support them if you must. If someone's struggling, if a marriage is struggling, then bring them along with you. Some of you have strong marriages. What you should do is find those people that are struggling and pour into them. Or find a younger couple and pour into them. Invite them over for dinner. You know, why do they have to make the same mistakes you did along the way? That's probably why you learned, because you made 100 mistakes, and now you're 100 mistakes wiser than they are. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could share some of that wisdom, some of that counsel, and they won't make those mistakes? And so we have that obligation. Because in the world works in a total opposite way. The world takes advantage of the weak. That's the way this world does. In fact, one of the things that we're seeing in our culture right now is we're seeing seniors being taken advantage of. And what drives me crazy is, and I understand, I mean, law enforcement kind of is thinking, seniors are being taken advantage of. We just don't have enough manpower to deal with it. Case in point, probably last year, maybe 2 years ago at the most, my mom gets a call, right? And this guy says, I'm the lawyer of your grandson. You know, he's in jail, and so he needs you to pay his bail. So my mom says, you mean Jared? Yeah, your grandson Jared. He's in jail. I'm his lawyer, and you need to send some money. So my mom goes to her bank and sends thousands and thousands of dollars to this guy. Well, number one, my son wasn't in jail. He's a good boy, right? My son is in Texas where he lives. Good boy. And but once again, the way the system is set up right now, no one does anything about it. And so which, I totally understand. Having been part of the system, I totally understand. But you know what? There's a special place in hell for people like that, that take advantage of like that. But the kind of the funny side, I called my son up and I said, you know what? Grandma really loves you. She bailed you out of jail. And he's like, what? And so I told him what had happened. And my son felt bad. But then he said, he goes, why did grandma think it was me? Of all the other grandsons, why did she think it was me? He's a real good kid. But that's the way the world works, right? It's just the way the world works. But we look out for our brother and we encourage him and we make them stronger. Here's the second thing. In a culture of honor, the strong will receive patience, comfort, and hope from the scriptures. See, the scriptures are real important in this place. In fact, if you download our app, East River Fellowship, go to the App Store. The one thing, and it's by design, real prominent on there, is the daily reading plan. Because at East River, we read our Bible how often? Every day. Every day, it's important. And this is what it says here in verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. And he's talking about the Old Testament. Because there's this thinking in the church, like almost the Old Testament doesn't apply anymore. You can almost ignore the Old Testament. Just focus on the New Testament. And that's not true. Because this tells us, know what it was written, that we can still learn from the Old Testament. So we study it here. We go through the whole Bible every year in this church. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort, now where do they come from? Of the scriptures, might have hope. So he's saying as you dig into the scriptures, right? You being the strong, as you dig into the scriptures, you'll find the patience of God in the scriptures, right? You'll find the comfort of God in the scriptures. See, I know God is faithful and I know God's not done with me. You know how I know that? Because that's what the scriptures tell me. So when I face plant like we all do sometimes. When I stub my toe and face plant, I don't beat myself up because I know he's not done with me. That's the kind of comfort that the scriptures will give us. And then hope. See, I wake up every morning with hope. Hope, a good definition is this. Hope, the anticipation that God is going to move. That's really a good definition for hope. So I wake up in every morning excited that God's going to do something. And I said, Lord, let me be a part of that. You're going to do something today. Let me be a part of that. Because I want to make sure that my life here on earth counts. That my time counts. Because I'm responsible with what I do with my time. See, some people are robbing God with their time. They're using their time and they're using it very frivolous, as it were. Some people are stealing from God with their money. They're using their money unwisely. They're using their talents and their skills unwisely. Not that you can't use them out there, but I tell you what, you're to use them in God's kingdom. You're supposed to use them in God's kingdom. Look what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. It says all Scripture, talking about all, Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, meaning really systematic teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness and doing the right thing. So all of Scripture, that's why we should study all Scripture. All of it is inspired. You know, sometimes you have people on the world, when I worked for the feds, excuse me, I got a frog that won't get out. You know, they say stuff like this, well, I don't read the Bible because, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, errors in it. I'm like, you know, you're probably right. There's probably a ton of them. I said, you know, just give me two. You know what? They couldn't even give me one. And so when people, even believers sometimes, when they're like, well, I don't know if the Bible's inspired. I'm like, that tells me, that's a clue to me that you haven't read your Bible. Because we just read, it's inspired, right? All Scripture is inspired by God. He spoke to men who wrote it down. But it is under inspiration. So we study the Word, we apply the Word, and when we do that, here comes patience, here comes comfort, here comes hope, things that we can use for other people. That's why a lot of times people around me say, why are you never, it's like nobody, nothing ever throws you. Why don't they, well, it doesn't throw me because I know what God has said. And that, and so that keeps me solid, it really does. Let's go to number three. I'm working through these, I know, a little fast, but bear with me. In a culture of honor, the strong glorify God with a united mind and voice. With a united mind and voice. When God's people are united, I tell you what, you feel the presence of God like no other time. Now, I love getting with my leaders. I love getting with my leaders. I love getting with my staff. And we began to pray and began to worship. And immediately you feel the presence of God. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's why the enemy, usually the way he attacks the church, is trying to bring disunity. You know, so someone all of a sudden is, you know, they're mad at something. I tell you what, me and my elders, we deal with stuff pretty quickly because we know that that's the one thing that he uses against the church. Look at verse 5. It says, now may the God of patience and comfort, so he's telling you how God is, his nature, right? Grant you what? To be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. He says, so really what he's saying, we're supposed to be patient and comforting toward one another. If someone comes and talks to you and they leave, I mean, worse, you're not doing your job. No, he says you're supposed to be patient, right? And also you're supposed to comfort them because that's what Jesus is. That we may be with one mind and one mouth, we may glorify the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a harmony that comes when we worship the Lord together. Yeah, instead, it's kind of funny. I've had pastor friends of mine that maybe went through some rough stretches that need some help, that need to be put back together. So I'll invite them to come to this church, and I'll say this. I invite you to come with one rule, and that is don't think about anything except worship. See, because what happens, sometimes we become so knowledgeable, especially those of us that are in ministry, we'll come in here and we're like, well, the lights aren't exactly perfect, you know, because it's like, it's a little darker here than it should be here. And if you do the lights correctly, they should be, or the sound, you know, it seems like, wait a minute, I might hear a buzz coming out of, you know, and it's like, what? God is here and we have an opportunity to worship him and we're worried about the light and it's too cold, it's too hot, we're worried about, and how are you going to feel God move or sense God moving when you're really worried about everything else? And so Ephesians 4:3 says this, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. And those, be in the Spirit. How can you then discern spiritual things? You won't. Binding yourself together with peace. So you come in here and your focus is always Jesus. It should never be Steve, Trieste, or anybody else, right? It should always be Jesus. They'll lead you into his presence. They'll encourage you. Like when Steve says, come on, right? He's encouraging you. But it's always about Jesus. Always about him. Don't ever make it about anything else. So I pray, Lord, stir me up. Lord, stir me up because I want to have my focus on you. I want my mind united and my voice united to lift up praises to you because what we're doing is eternal stuff. What we're doing is eternal stuff, and it matters. the gifts that God uses me, I'm going to use it for things that matter. A perfect example, just this week, was it Thursday or Friday? Right? Thursday, was it? We get here, we drive into the parking lot, and I see this guy driving the truck, and he gets out, and he's walking toward us, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, must be one of the inspectors, because we're expecting two inspectors that day. So the guy comes up, and he says to me, silver-haired guy, you know, kind of silver-haired beard, or silver beard, and he says to me, do you know how I am? And I'm like, you're one of the inspectors, right? He goes, nope, I'm not one of the inspectors. And then he comes up, he goes, look at my face closely and see if you can remember who I am. And it's getting weird right now, you know, I'm like, you know, do I call 911? I mean, this guy, who is this guy? Well, it turns out, this is a guy from our youth group 35 years ago. Still walking with Jesus, still on fire for Jesus. You know, I mean, he told one of the staff, yeah, pastor used to smack me around, you know, when I'd get out of line. And I would do that, you know, even back then. This is for keeps. This is for keeps. So we who are the strong, we know these things. And so we pour into people that they might be encouraged. And we may not know 35 years from now, that person touched this person who touched that person who then touched thousands, and this person touched thousands. You thought you were only pouring into one person. You only thought you were pouring into one couple, but those couples that you poured into that person have touched thousands. That's the way it works. So don't waste your gifts, your talent, your money in things that don't matter. See, that's what you do in the culture of honor. You use those things in things that matter. Here's number four. Here's the last one. In the culture of honor, you receive your brother right where he's at. Right where he's at, no matter what it looks like. Romans 15:7, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. My pastor used to say something like this. I remember the first time my pastor said that, you've been saved too long. I'm like, what? You've been saved? Well, I go, what does that mean? You know what it meant? That I forgot where he found me. See, I always thought I was always this great guy. But no, you forgot where he found you. And my pastor would teach us, don't ever forget where you were found. Otherwise, you will look down on those that come in here that resemble what you looked like even back then. Even back then. I remember a couple guys came to our church, and it was kind of funny. They came, did a beeline, and they're like, hey, will you cast demons out of us? And I'm like, that's kind of a weird thing to go up to a pastor and say, hey, will you cast demons out of us? And so I'm like, well, who said you had demons? And they said, oh, no, we see them all the time. These guys were drug addicts, and so they know that realm better than even believers do. But I mean, I still wanted to know a little bit more. I mean, who told you to come to this church to have demons cast out? He goes, well, this one guy that we used to hang out with, you know, we used to get high with, and I gave us his name. This guy we used to get high with, he used to go to this church, and he said, you guys cast a demon on him. And he says, man, the dude has quit using drugs. He's at PCC going to school. I mean, he's done all these things. So we run into him, and he says, you got to go to that church. Then they'll cast out demons, right? You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, that's kind of crazy. But we have to be a church that receives people wherever they're at, however they come here, because they need to have an encounter with God and be set free, and then God will use them. They'll probably become pastors, right? God will probably use them. So a strong church receives one another right where they're at. This word actually, to receive, means that you actually lean in. It actually means you initiate. You initiate. Don't wait for the obvious to happen. You know, you can tell, he must be new. I mean, I've been in churches where, you know, ladies walked in, and you just know, you know, by their dress, they're probably new here today. You know, they're probably new, and what an opportunity to receive people just where they're at. Because if we judge them, guess what? We miss that opportunity. Amen. And in the culture of honor, we're not going to judge them. We're going to love on them. They'll have an encounter with God, and Jesus will clean them up. It's not our job to clean them up. He'll do it. So he says, just the way Christ received you, and no one is too far gone to be rejected. No one. So I'm going to finish with this. Come on up, Steve, if you would. Come on up. I'm going to finish with this question. And I know the Lord's going to speak to you, and I know He's been speaking to you because I asked Him to. And here's the question. Are you giving yourself completely to God? Not holding back anything. Are you giving yourself completely to God? Are you giving yourself completely to His church? Are you giving yourself completely to His people? Now, if you honestly could say, no, I have been holding myself back. Or I've been, sometimes we're like waiting for the right time. There is no right time. The right time is today. So, if that's you, then start today by obeying what the Spirit has told you. You're just one decision away from really being obedient to the Lord. And so that's my encouragement to you. In the culture of honor, you're not just going to think about it, you're actually going to do it. Amen? Let's get up and let's worship the Lord. Let's finish strong.